Hey everybody, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am welcoming author Joe Segura. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, Segura. Okay. Segura.
Okay. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
USA Today bestselling author Joe Segura lives in the Pacific Northwest with her doggo, who vies for her attention with his sweet puppy dog eyes whenever she's trying to write. Her stories feature strong, passionate heroines and draw upon aspects of her life, such as her Mexican heritage and her fascination with archaeology. When she's not writing, you can find her practicing law, shaking up a mean cocktail, or sitting out on the patio doing BuzzFeed quizzes, though she doesn't care what the chicken nugget quiz said her favorite fruit is not banana.
That was a legit quiz I did on BuzzFeed. It was like, do this chicken nugget quiz and it'll tell you what your favorite fruit is, which is so random. Of course, it's like such a BuzzFeed quiz thing.
It is such a buzz thing. Well, my thing is, how can you answer questions about chicken nuggets and they get your fruit like option from that? I mean,
But
clearly
how
it's
can you
wrong.
not?
Well,
How can you not,
I
right?
mean,
It
anything
was wrong.
works.
It was wrong. It said my favorite fruit was banana. And I'm sorry, nobody's favorite fruit is banana. I'm just going to go out there and put that out there. If it is, then please let me know I'm wrong.
I mean, I enjoy eating a banana, but it definitely is not my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I have bananas in my kitchen right now, but I mean, there's some people who hate bananas. I don't hate bananas, but it is not my favorite fruit, and I don't think it's anyone's.
Well, I'm sure there's some weirdo out there that it is, but hey. So it's funny that you say you're a lawyer, because we have spoken with Avery Flynn in the past, and she talks about how, like, you cannot swing a cat in the romance world without hitting a lawyer, or without hitting like 10 lawyers. There's so many.
There are a lot of us, yes. And I don't know what it is about being an author that, you know, or being a lawyer that attracts you, you know, being an author. And specifically in romance, there's a lot of.
There is a lot.
Yeah. I think it's probably because the, you know, we spend a lot of our time reading and writing as lawyers, but
That's so
it's not the
serious.
same kind. Yes, it's not the same kind of writing, and it's very technical, and like, you know, every now and then you try to put like a little flourish in there, but you know, judges don't always like that. And sometimes it can be kind of depressing. And so romance gives us, you know, hope and makes us happy, and we don't get that necessarily from legal writing. So that's going to be my guess, but I don't really know.
I mean, hey, whatever works. So what drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
So first of all, I love like romance movies and like old rom-coms and whatnot. And when I first sat down to write a full-length book, because I had this story kind of in my head, and a friend was like, you should just write it down. I didn't really know what the story was going to be.
Okay.
But after I wrote it, I'm like, oh, this is a romance, which makes sense because I love stories.
Right.
And, you know, the romance aren't necessarily love stories, but I love a good romance. And so, of course, it made sense that this book that I write ends up being a romance. Now, no one is ever going to read that book because it's so terrible, but it got me involved in the romance community after that.
Right.
And that just, it just kind of took off from there.
So it's in a box, never to like see the light of day.
Yeah. Yes. My friend did read it, the friend who had encouraged me to write it down. And I think she was probably like, oh, this is great. But it's really not. I've like kind of peeked at it and quickly like closed the file, because it was, I had a lot to learn. I'll just say that, a lot to
Well,
learn.
but that's the thing about being an author. Like, even authors who've been publishing for years, from like their first book to their most recent book, they're like, I've learned and grown so much since I started writing.
Yes, totally. I mean, even now, you know, I'm working on my fourth contracted book. You know, I've written many other books that may or may not see the light of day at some point, but I'm working on my fourth one, and You know, it's like you're learning how to write for the first time every time you start a new project. But at the same time, I've picked up some new skills along the way that have helped me craft my my books now, where, you know, I didn't have those tools when I first started writing.
So what made you make that decision to put that book out there to publish?
So interestingly, the book that got me my first agent is not the first book that I had published. I had been working on this manuscript for a really long time, and I had heard about one of those pitch opportunities they used to do on Twitter, PitMad. I don't know if you remember those. And I had just finished editing my manuscript, and I learned that there was a PitMed coming up like 2 days later. And so I decided, you know, I'm just gonna put it out there. I'm just gonna see what will happen. I'm gonna give myself a year to try to get an agent and then see what happens after that. And if I don't make any headway, then I'll just reevaluate, you know, if it's, you know, the manuscript isn't right, if I need to write something else, or if, you know, I'm not reaching the right agents, or if it's just not my time. And so I did the PitMad, and then I sent out my manuscript to agents who had liked it, and then I waited. And, you know, publishing can be so slow,
It can,
especially when you're
yes.
querying to get an agent. And so I'm like, well, what am I going to do while I'm waiting? I can't not write something. So I decided to write something else during NaNoWriMo. And which is National Novel Writing Month for people who might not know what I'm talking about. And I came up with this idea to write this story about rival archaeologists. And I drafted most of that book during NaNoWriMo. And eventually, another PitMad was coming up. I still was waiting to hear back from agents on my other manuscript that I had sent out. And I went ahead and pitched my new rival archaeologist rom-com. And I got contacted then by this agent who had already had my other manuscript. And she asked, could she see this one as well? And I ended up signing with this agent, and we decided to move forward with my archaeologist rom-com because it was during the pandemic when everyone just wanted to be happy and an escape. You know, it's in the jungle, like just a fun book. And so we went out on submission for my archaeologist book, and it sold pretty quickly. It actually sold, I think we had the agreement, like the oral agreement on my 1 year anniversary from when I had committed, I'm going to give it a year.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. And so, and then that ended up turning into Raiders of the Lost Heart. At the time when I had originally pitched it, it had a different title, but it became Raiders of the Lost Heart. And so, yes.
As a fan of Indiana Jones, I love the punny covers.
Yes,
The
I know.
titles and like everything about it. Like honestly, like my growing up, like we definitely watched those before. Or we probably should have. Like, I remember watching Raiders of the Lost Ark, like in that whole, like all of that. And I'm like, like looking at it now, I'm like, I probably should not have watched that at that age. Like, it's
Yeah,
not like I
same
was
here.
young, but I wasn't old either.
Yeah, I have two older siblings, and
Same.
so those were movies that we all loved and watched together. But, you know, they're because they're older than me. I mean, my brother is 5 years older than me, you know, so he's watching it, and maybe it was more age appropriate for him, but for me, I'm still pretty young. But I don't care. I love those movies so much. And, you know, once we had come up with the title for Raiders of the Lost Heart, it was almost like the next two just,
They were like
they, it's
instantly
like, well,
there.
here we go. Now we know what those ones are going to be. And so I didn't have to do a whole lot of thinking on the next few titles.
So, do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
Focus. What is that? Recently, I've been writing on a free write
Okay.
because I have not been able to focus. I get distracted very easily. So the free write has been really helpful to keep me on task.
Because there's no
Other
other windows that you could possibly open.
nothing. And even the screen is very small. The screen is like no bigger than like your phone screen. And so and you're typing on that. Also, they make it more difficult to edit as you go on a free write. And so you just keep writing and you deal with the edits later on, because otherwise, when I'm looking at my full computer screen with my giant monitor, I'm like jumping around and like tweaking things because I can see a
The whole
whole page,
page, yeah.
and I start tweaking words or tweaking
And then you're getting
sentences.
the red squiggles and the blue lines.
And so it's, for someone who has a hard time focusing, I do think that using something like that, or like a free write, or if you can just turn off the internet, that's another thing. But other than that, I usually have some sort of warm beverage with me, and I have my dog close by, and I just write while I feel the inspiration. If I get to a point where I've been sitting there for a while and I'm
Just
not writing
staring.
anything, or if I'm like on the internet or doing something else, then I'll just stop for the day. I also listen to music while I write, and I know that's kind of controversial. Like some authors, because I listen to music with lyrics.
Okay, so that's a mixed bag. Some like they have to have songs with words, some they can't have any words. We did an interview with Ariel Sullivan, and she said she listens to the same song on repeat like 24/7.
I couldn't do that.
She's like, my family hates it as well.
I could not do
Yeah,
that. But
but
I listen to a wide range of music while I'm writing. And so it's not, I have this playlist that I call Writing Time, but it's full of random stuff. Everything from like singer-songwriter, kind of more quiet stuff, to, alternative rock. There's a lot of Radiohead on it.
Oh, I love
A lot of
Radiohead.
There's some EDM, like Bob
Sometimes
Moses
you
is,
just need it.
yeah, Bob Moses is one of my favorite musical groups, and their music is really great for writing for me. Maybe not for other people, but for me, it's really great. So I'll be listening to my music with my noise canceling headphones on, dog by my side, warm beverage, maybe with my computer, maybe with my free write, but that's kind of my routine.
If there is a piece of advice that present author you would give past author you, what would it be?
Find your people early. I, because writing is so solitary.
It is.
And I remember the very first writing conference I ever went to was all genres. And some authors in other genres are critical of the romance genre. And I found it really difficult to navigate this conference, being a romance author, because there were a lot of people who were not as open to talking about romance, but and honestly, I almost was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe this isn't for me. But then I had heard about this romance conference in the area where I live. And so I thought, well, I'm going to just check it out. And I made my very first like writing friend at that conference. And it changed things for me. I had someone who I could like bounce ideas off of with, and who I could just talk about the romance genre with, talk about books that I loved. And that was really helpful. From there, we met other people and we formed this group. And having like your people, like this original author group that I made of these friends, we still get together. This was, I don't know, like 8, 9 years ago. I don't know how, what is time? But we still get together and do little writing retreats. We live all over the country now, and some people live in Europe even, and
So
we
you're
still.
ev like literally all over the place.
We all started in the same general area in the Pacific Northwest, like Seattle, Portland kind of area, because we were at a local conference. But since then, people have moved all over. And that very first writing friend that I ever made, she came to a conference I just went to as my assistant. And so it was just awesome that, you know, we've kind of been on this journey together for so long. And, you know, this is like my very first writing friend who's sitting next to me at my table. It's just an awesome moment. But I think it's really important to find your people, because number one, there are certain things that need to just stay in the group chat. So you need to find those people.
We are like big proponents of find a group chat and say, is it okay if I share this? And they will tell you yes or no. And honestly, if you need to ask it, it's probably a no.
That and someone who, you know, maybe they can help you critique your work, especially when you're a new author, and it's so scary putting your work out there and having other people read it who aren't like your friends and family, because your friends and family are going to tell you it's great. My friend told me that that first manuscript I wrote was great. It's not. I know it's not. But, you know, your writing friends aren't afraid to give you pointers, and you know, some are more delicate than others in the way they do it, but you know, they know what to look for, and you know, they know the genre, they know what sells, they know what are the yeses and nos, and you can't do that. That's a rule you cannot break. So it's really important to find those people.
Well, and it's crazy because there are so many people in the publishing industry who like still talk about how romance is like not even important. It's like it's a billion-dollar industry, but yet you still act like it has no bearing and no importance anywhere. Like I've never understood that, why it's such a taboo thing to be still.
Right. And if romance isn't important, then why do people get in relationships?
Well, and it's like rom-com movies. Like it's the same thing. Like there's it's just a total it's a different vehicle in media, but it's exactly the same thing.
But I love this genre, and I find that the people in this genre are super welcoming, more so than what I have experienced with other genres. You know, I'm sure that there are some really lovely authors in other genres, and you know, some I've made friends with and they've been great. But I found that the romance community is just so welcoming, and I really appreciate that.
So when you're writing, do you plan and plot or do you pants? Or
A
are you kind
little
of a
bit.
blend of both?
I'm a little bit of both. I used to be a total pantser, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, total pants. Since then, the next three books that I've written or am writing have been under contract, and you can't completely pants. They want to know what you're writing in advance, and so I've had to submit for, you know, Temple of Swoon. I submitted a full synopsis. And I stayed pretty true to that. For The Lust Crusade, I just submitted a three paragraph blurb.
So it kind of gave you some more freedom.
Yes, gave me a lot of freedom. And for the next one, I just submitted, actually, I don't think I submitted anything. I think I just talked about it on the phone with my editor. And she said, sounds great. And it really was, it's all based on like just this one scene. I was like, what if this happens? She's like, awesome, write that. Throw in some adventure. So it really depends. I kind of like plot it out in my head, but I'm not like an outliner. I don't have like note cards taped up on the wall and stuff, because I just, my brain doesn't work that way. So,
I mean, I can have the postcards and the notes like for different things, and they are just background like decoration. So I get that. So let's talk The Lust Crusade. It comes out January 13th, 2025. It's best brother's best friend, friends to lovers. It is a slow burn. So this is Daniela and Theo's story. And when the book opens up, we meet Danny. She's on this Greek trip with the silver singles, which I love that. I think that is one of my favorites. Like, honestly, I needed more Harold in this book.
Yeah,
Like, I
my
need.
editors, they loved Harold. I think they when they sent me my edit letter, they're like, but let's be honest, the real hero of this story
Is
is
Harold.
Harold.
He's such a great character, and it's I love when I get into a book where I fall in love with a random side character, which he is an important part of the book. Like, I'm not saying that he's not, but he could have been any Joe Schmo. But the way that you created his character and the relationship that he and Danny like make in just the little time we get him was
Yes.
fantastic.
Yes. That makes me so happy because I loved writing his character. He just brought like this different energy to Danny's trip. And she could have been on this trip with a bunch of retirees and had a miserable time, but she makes this friend with this, I can't remember how old he is, like this 70 some year old man. And it's just so charming because you can just feel their connection so early on. And so anyway, yes, I love Harold. He's just the way he talks to her too. I just love it.
Yeah, I think that he was great, and like when he comes back, like I think that like that whole culmination is just wonderful. You'll have to read it to find out exactly how Harold saves the day.
Yes.
But so we have Danny, she's going to Greece like to get closer to Theo, she has been in love with him for years, but best friend, brother's best friend, has been a fixture in her life, and he went to Greece a year ago and disappeared, and so he's presumed dead. But as we all know, this is not the case, and the hijinks, like, it kind of starts early and never really lets up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because they've been captured and he's been captured. So we find that out just in chapter one that, she's going there for closure to basically let him go. But when she gets there, she sees a man who looks like him and she can't get it out of her head that, oh my gosh, that was Theo. And so soon we learn that he has been captured and she gets captured right alongside with him. And so it is go, go, go because they've been captured. But writing a book where you still need to give them some freedom to explore their relationship while being captured and putting them in situations where they're able to get closer but still be in danger. And at the same time, not so much danger where it's not realistic for them to, have these moments together. It was a little bit of a challenge, but I love writing this book. I think this might be my favorite of the three. I just love Danny and Theo and Harold. And I mean, Theo, I think he's just like the perfect guy. So, yeah.
Well, and Theo is this guy who, on the surface, he has everything together. Like, he has a great job, he has a good family. I mean, aside from the getting kidnapped part of it, but once you really meet him, like, he's kind of a hot mess.
Yes. Well, everyone has to have their issues. And I think that's something that I explore a lot in my books is these people who outwardly might appear like they've got their shit together,
But they really
but then
don't.
they really don't. Like, thinking about like Corey and Raiders of the Lost Heart, she's this like badass archaeologist who, everyone just thinks she's so cool and she's got it all together, but deep down inside she has her own insecurity. And Theo is also like that. And so is Daniela. I mean, Daniela thought that she was gonna live this fantastic life where after she graduated from high school, she was gonna travel the world. She was gonna do this. She was gonna do that. She was always being a little reckless and, getting into trouble. And then she goes away to college and comes back within the first quarter and then never left home and lives in her parents' garage and becomes a librarian of all things, you know, and
Well, and she's one of those characters who she seems very sure of herself and her decisions, but she is not. Like she is, well, and like when the book opens, like she's kind of like spiraling because all this time she thought that she's been like really helpful and needed, and she's not so much at the same. And so it's like it kind of like threw her like whole identity for a loop in a way.
Because she thinks that, you know, she comes home this first quarter of college because her dad's been in an accident. And so she thinks she needs to be there to help out her family. But really, you know, her parents tell her, you know, 20 years later, well, we thought you needed us and we were helping you. And so this just like has kind of put her in this place where she's like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
Yeah, she
How did I
kind of
get to this
implodes.
place? And so what does one do when they get to that spot in their lives?
They
They
drop everything and go to Greece on a singles.
on a retiree single
An
strip.
octogenarian single strip at that.
Naturally. You
I
just,
mean,
why not?
why not? And Theo, like, he's such a smart guy, but he's such a dummy at times.
Yes, he is.
And these two, like, they had a moment, and then things happen, and there's miscommunication, and there's chaos, and then, like, they're both, like, mad at each other, but won't talk about why they're mad at each other. And it's one of those stories that it moves at such a great pace, and like there's something going on the whole time, and like they're having conversation and they're getting mad and not talking but talking at the same time. And it's so realistic and relatable the way that you wrote it.
Well, I know that a lot of people have thoughts about miscommunication
Yes,
in romance. Like,
it is a big
you
thing.
know, if it's
Yes.
something that could just be handled with a quick conversation, then, you know, why, you know, it shouldn't be there. But, you know, so I tried to think of a way where it made sense as to why neither of them brought this up. You know, this moment happened where, you know, Danny was inebriated, and so she doesn't quite remember it. What she remembers of it is really mortifying and embarrassing. And you know what, Theo was not, he was inebriated as well, but he wasn't
Yeah, not
as
as
out of it
bad.
as she was. But he was not in a position to do something with Danny at the time. And you know, he really respected her, but he wanted to make sure that if they were going to pursue something, that it was right and that she really wanted that, and he couldn't tell because she had been inebriated. But I don't want to give too much away, but later on, when he goes back to try to talk to her about it, he sees something and he's like, oh, I was wrong. She was not interested in me at all. And that's why he takes off to go to Greece, because he wants to get some distance from her. He feels that if he's around her, he's not going to be able to move on. Little does he know that he's been lured to Greece by a notorious artifact smuggler. And dun dun dun, now you're
Dun, dun,
captured.
dun.
Now you're captured. And now your year of your life is gone because you've been captured.
Well, and Danny, like, she was very sincere in what she said, but she's not sure, like, with some of the react interactions, like, how it, if it was really truthful, or she's imagining the way that it happened because she was a little sauced, because he's always dated, like Greek girls, and it's the three
Good Greek
G's,
girls.
good Greek girls. And so it's like, so she's like, well, I'm not that. And his parents say I'm reckless. And is this really something that, like, I was ha like, did happen, or was I imagining the things that I remember as well? So, like, but we get both sides of it, which I appreciate because sometimes we don't always have that.
I really like dual POV. You know, I think single POV can be really helpful to like build some of that suspense, and so you really don't know what's going on. But at the same time, especially when you're dealing with miscommunication, I like to be able to see what the other one is actually thinking. So I thought it was important to have dual POV for this one. All my books are dual POV. I just like being able to get both of the perspectives. But, she's an interesting character because, she does have a lot going for her, but she still thinks that she's not like good enough for Theo because, again, he's looking for a triple G, a good
Yeah.
Greek girl.
Well,
And
and she's
that's
a librarian that lives in her parents' like garage apartment.
right. And he's moved away and, he's the She, what does she call him? The director of something at a museum. She can never
Yes.
remember what he's doing. And, so she thinks that he's like really going out there and living his life and doing all this really amazing stuff. But, she doesn't realize that the things that she's doing are also still really amazing. And she really likes what she does.
She does,
No,
yeah.
it's not what she imagined for her life, but in the end, she likes being a librarian. And I think that librarians are amazing, and I would love to be a librarian.
I know, thinking back, I'm like, why didn't I do that?
Right?
Like, I have an
Yeah.
art degree. I don't use it.
Well, I mean, I am a lawyer, so I've got a
And
law
you
degree,
do
but
use that.
yeah, I do use that, but my undergraduate degree is in geography. So
A stretch from geography to law.
well, it's like land use and
This is
that.
true.
So, yeah, I do some of that. But yeah, but being a librarian, that sounds really cool.
Jenny, one of our like co-hosts on the podcast, she actually just got a full-time librarian job.
Ah,
So
congrats.
it's very exciting. Yes.
Congratulations. Yes,
Yeah.
that's
So
awesome.
yeah, it is crazy though, because I'm like, that would be such a great job. Like you get paid to read for
Yes.
fun.
And to just be around books, like there's a scent to a library that I just really enjoy. When I go back to visit my family in Ohio, I stop by my old hometown library, and it's the coolest building. It's this old, like kind of like Art Deco
Oh,
building.
really?
Oh, it's awesome! It's awesome. They've expanded since I was a kid, but it's just an amazing building, and I just love checking it out and just like kind of walking around in it. And I don't know.
So for me, when e-readers first started coming out, I was very like, no, I don't want it. Like, I like to hold a book. I like the smell of it. And then I had kids and almost dropped my book on their head like multiple times. And like, yeah, maybe I should like graduate to that. And I've never went back. And now I have lots of trophies that I don't actually read, but they just look pretty on my wall. But there's something about like the smell and the texture, like of holding that book.
I am a physical book person. I do have an e-reader. I mostly use that to read like advanced copies of books, but I love going into the library and stopping at that shelf of the staff picks, or at my library they call them ready reads, and that's the books that the librarians have selected as being books you should read. There's always amazing books there, and sometimes it'll be a book where if you wanted to put a hold on it, you'd be like number 1,000 in line. But it just is sitting there on that ready reads shelf. You feel like you like won the lottery. Oh, it's awesome. So
Well,
I
and
usually
there's
will
always
pick those
some
ones.
eclectic like choices on there too, because it can run the gamut of what they're picking for the month.
I mean, they have all genres. They'll have romance, they'll have thrillers, they'll have lit fic, they'll have nonfiction. And I read a lot of different genres, and so I will just pick what looks good. I think you can only pick three at a time, but and of course, like I'll already have a few holds that I'm going to pick up, and then I see, this book that I
And
really
you're like,
wanted to
ooh,
read
let me
there.
add that.
And I'm like, well, now I guess I'm taking six books home and I gotta read them all in a
I
month. It happens.
mean, it does. So, what is next for you?
So, Lust Crusade comes out in January
Yes.
2026, and I'll be going on book tour.
Ooh,
So
fun.
I am very excited to do that. I am knocking on wood that the weather holds up
Yeah,
because
because
I'm doing a
traveling
book
in
tour in
January, you never
January.
know.
I did it last year and the snow was not kind to me. So I'm hoping that it will be kind to me this time. I am also working on my fourth book right now. It's another adventure rom-com, but it's in a it's same world, but it's not part of the series. It's not featuring archaeologists.
Okay.
It's featuring journalists
Okay.
who are looking for pirate treasure.
Oh, fun.
Yes. So I think that will come out in January of 2027, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
Just thinking about the timeline, but yes, yeah, so I'm working on that right now. And then from there, we'll see.
Well, that I do like a pirate story. Whether it's
But
the characters are pirates or they're looking for pirate things, I like both aspects of it.
when I pitched this one to my editor, I pitched her three different options.
Okay.
And she says, well, I have a favorite. She says, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I'm thinking probably the pirate one because it was the one that was the most fleshed out in my head. And I said, what about you? She goes, I like pirates. So basically, I'm like, all right, this will be the one. So, pirates are not on the page, but it's featuring some pirate lore.
Pirate-ish.
Yes.
Well,
And
I
pirate
look forward to
treasure.
that. Well,
Yes.
for those of you who have not grabbed this book, grab it now. You will love it. It is wonderful and delightful. And but thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.